Hi, welcome to another Writers After Dark. I'm your host, Summer Brooks, and we're here because good stories start with the writers. Since wherever there's a story, someone's either making it up or writing it down. And my special guests today are the writing team known as S.K. Dunstall, Sherilyn, and Karen, sisters from Down Under, who are creating some very entertaining space opera for us these days. The first book in their newest series is called Stars Uncharted, but their new book, which comes out in January, is called Stars Beyond. Hi, ladies. How are you?
Good, thank you.
How are you, Summer?
Very good, very good. Now, I'm a huge space opera fan, so whenever I hear that there's more deep space adventure, high-stakes shenanigans, heists especially, I am always intrigued. And Stars Uncharted jumps in the middle of a potential heist where everything has already gone sideways.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, first, tell us about the universe of Stars Uncharted and Stars Beyond, and how this type of adventure became the focus of your stories.
Ooh. So, let's talk about the universe first. As you said, it's space opera, and it's based on a future where companies rather than governments have settled the galaxy, and its galaxies are ruled by 27 major companies, and do you want to jump in, Cheryl?
No, I'm just trying to think pretty much it is, because obviously the ones who will go into space will be the ones that can afford to go. So that's why the companies we have running the system. It's a pretty lawless thing, although there is a Justice Department, which is corrupt, as you see a lot of companies. You know, I think sometimes companies are like that. So that's sort of the universe, the setting of the universe is it's company run. Where the story comes in or starts with Stars Uncharted, it starts with, we took a step back and said, what would happen if, machines in the future cured? It started off with Nika's story, really, is what happens if machines cure you and
what's left after that? So you take something like is it Star Trek's machine that cures you? I've forgotten what it's called now. I normally can, but yeah, the black box.
Medicenter.
And if you've got a box like that, what happens to doctors? You know, what does the doctor become when they don't actually need to do the work anymore? What's left? And what was left for us was basically cosmetic, changing people's appearance. And therefore for us, so we came up with this idea of body modders, people who will change your body. So they're a combination between a cosmetic surgeon, although the box does all the work, a doctor and an artist, and the best artists. Nika is one of those artists who actually remodels people's body right down to a genetic level using a gene mod machine. So that was
the basis of the story, the start of the idea. Even though the story is not all about that, but yeah. And obviously something's going to go wrong.
Yeah. And in this case, Nika accidentally invented an exchanger, which allowed people to swap bodies for 24 hours using one of these machines. And an assassin heard about it and actually came in and forced her to switch bodies so that he could go and commit a murder. And then he came back to finish her off so that she wouldn't tell on him effectively. And that's and where the story starts.
And she went on the run.
Yeah.
That's a concept I had never even thought about. What happens to doctors if machines are patching people up or curing diseases, healing injuries? What does the doctor do after that?
Well, it actually came from a newspaper article where some union had worked very, very – I can't remember what industry it was – but basically people who'd been trained had been replaced by machines, and the union had worked really, really hard. So all these trained specialists in whatever this field was were now basically – they got desk jobs, if you like, to supervise the machines. And, yeah, you could see that they had no job, and they'd suddenly gone from really skilled people to button pushers. It was – very interesting, yeah.
And where, how did that idea jumpstart the adventure and the characters, mostly in Stars Uncharted? Because Nika is kind of a unique person, to say the least. There's a addictive quality, like where you see on reality shows, people who are addicted to cosmetic surgery. That's easily translatable to people who become addicted to, it's the same thing, addicted to body modifications, only now you've gone a step farther, a step deeper with technology. So it's sort of, I guess, transhumanism with an addictive side to it.
I think so, yeah.
See, the thing is, what happens after that, though, is you're still putting that in a story too, but you want a story that's exciting and adventurous, because we love exciting adventure, Indiana Jones, space stuff, space operas. So you just it's really just a character that you've got there, but she has to have things happen and has to go on adventures. So then we came up with the rest of it.
Yeah.
Meshing out the character first, but then you've got the story all around it. But she lives and breathes body modding, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first book, Stars Uncharted, is mostly a chase treasure hunt, so to speak. Stars Beyond takes that a step further. Tell us about the jump from Stars Uncharted to where our, shall we say, intrepid bandit saviors are?
Our misfits.
Misfits, there we go.
Our misfits, yeah. Well, Stars Beyond has a sort of a really interesting history, because we wrote Stars Uncharted as a standalone book, and then after that, we planned a second book, Stars Beyond, which was set in the same universe, but it wasn't actually about Nika and Jocene. They came into it sort of at the end. Crash landed on the planet running away from...
Not quite at the end, but
throughout. Halfway through, but yeah. But it wasn't their story. So... It sort of was, in a way, parallel to Stars Uncharted initially, so that Stars Beyond was running, part of it was running at the same time. This is the first draft, which is nothing like it is now.
Absolutely nothing like it is now.
They just came in because they were running, from... Wickmore, Leonard
Wickmore.
Yeah, and it's too early in the morning. So they were just coming into the story. So the two stories weren't really much the same. And then our editor said, no, I really want another Nika Jocene story. So
we wrote something very different.
Yeah. Basically, they tried to write their story as follows.
As a follow-on from Stars Uncharted, yeah. But that didn't work either.
No, our agent called us up afterward. Well, she emailed us, I think, and she said,
we need to talk. This is not really what we want.
This story is just not going to work.
And we agreed with that.
Yeah, and we talked about it a lot. And then we sort of came up with this last idea, which we didn't want to just write. We couldn't write another story that was the same as the first one because, you know, one chase story is enough.
Yep.
So, yeah.
We combined
all three or the first two drafts, but it's a totally different story again.
Yeah, you would not even recognize the stories. We've written this book, Stars Beyond, three times and there's elements, the start's the same, the end's the same, but what's in the middle is very different. And it was more just a matter of just talking and through what we want to happen, how we want to happen, what we want to happen in it, and the consequence from the first book, which of the Nick is still being a wanted person because she was actually caught committing the crime. So having her being chased, but having the person that's the reason that they were following her is they were actually on her track. But it's hard to explain how it came. It just happened, I suppose. It was not thought out, threshed out in the sense of being a third rewrite. It was probably the least thought out. It just happened to come together. We just wrote it.
So was
no, that's a strange way.
Was that more because you said Stars Uncharted was meant to be a standalone, but it became so popular and so talked about that the publisher said, "Hey, can we get more of this?" And you're like, maybe
a bit like that.
Yeah. So with Stars Beyond, well, actually with both books, you do a lot of talking out of the story between yourselves before you actually start writing much of this down. How, I would have to imagine that the brainstorming for Stars Beyond was a bit different for Stars Uncharted because Stars Beyond, you're literally jumping into a new situation because you hadn't expected to actually go there.
That's very true. We did a lot more talking in Stars Beyond, both before, during, and even after writing each section. Normally, so our writing itself is normally, one person will write a first draft. We will talk about it, and the other person will read as we go. And if it goes totally off track, then might change it. But in general, that first draft is just talked about a little as we go. And then the talking starts. But in Stars Beyond, we were talking before, during and after.
And the reason we do it that way is to keep the same voice because we both write quite differently. So if we have one person write the first draft, we get their voice and it's the same voice that you want. So as Karen actually wrote the first draft of Stars Uncharted, she actually had to write the first draft of Stars Beyond to keep that same voice. But I had to have an awful lot of feedback in that one. And I do a lot of the editing behind. So I'll follow on behind and change things and delete things and say, no, this is not going to work. And then we'll talk about what she's going to write. And with Stars Beyond, I was basically nipping at her heels all the time.
Oh,
whereas normally
really?
I give her a bit of space. But she didn't get much space for Stars Beyond.
Now, with that sort of collaborative style, What comes first when you're fleshing out a story? Is it the plot first, the characters first, what's going to happen to the character, like their journeys, how they interact with other characters? What's the process for putting all those pieces together?
So first of all comes a story idea, just, you know, a spark of an idea with a character usually.
Often one will just pitch an idea, or just write a first chapter and say, what do you think? And the other will go, no, or we'll say, yeah, oh, love that. Let's keep going with that one.
And that's it. You sort of get a little sample and you say, oh yeah, we can work with this, or no, we can't.
And it goes from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What for you is, for each of you, is the most enjoyable, the most fun, the most excited you get during this process?
Oh, lots of little places. the whole process is good and different in different ways. Like the first draft's great because you're learning.
I love the editing side of it. I love taking something and saying, no, we can make this better. And so I've got the first draft, and then you just pull it apart and make it into something that just works.
And, you know, it's really lovely to see, because first drafts are pretty horrible. They're messy, they're awful, they're ugly, they've got gaps in them. It's beautiful to see a story come together, clean up and tidy up, and actually start to get some coherence.
And just enjoy reading it and working on it. It's like there's parts in the story that sometimes you just go, oh, she's like, with, particularly with Karen, and she's saying, and when I'm editing and I go, I just circle big bits and say, I love this bit. You know, it's when you're reading something, it just makes it like, this is, it's really great. Because it's not all your own work, someone can contribute something that you can go and read and you think, that is really good. Whereas if it's your own, you doubt yourself all the time. So when we work together, that's what's really good, is you can say, this really works, but you also have enough distance to say, no, that doesn't work at all. So that's what makes it all so much fun and comes together. It's the whole process is just enjoyable.
Yeah. And it is fun when writing stops. I mean, there are times, you know, in every book where you say, oh, I can't take this.
And that's when the other person takes over. Because if one person gets stuck and they're there, then we are really lucky that we work on pretty well. Well, I should say, look, Karen said, I can't write this chapter, so I'll go and write it. And then Karen will come back and say, nope, don't like that, and totally rewrite it. And they'll say, nope, I don't like that, and I'll rewrite it, and we're going back and forth. And it just, in the end, we come up with it. Yeah, that works.
That sounds like an excellent way to get unstuck, because you're both sort of sharing the same story, and one of you might see a different direction from where the other one got stuck. It sounds almost perfect.
And it is good, actually, because, you know, you can, we have a, sometimes we'll say, okay, so that doesn't work, what can work? And we'll just go through and keep trying ideas and ideas, just talking them out to start with, so you don't have to write them all. You know, does that work? No. What about this? No. And finally,
we
usually get something.
Yeah, we live and breathe writing and reading it sometimes. And we'll sit there at dinner, and sometimes when we're really stuck, a glass of wine, okay, give me 10 ideas on this, give me 10 ideas on this. And we'll go through them, and it doesn't matter how stupid that, and it just can spark off something in a different direction. Mm-hmm. And we have what we call lots of working dinners.
Do you guys work on more than one story at a time? Like, say, now that you, when you heard that Stars Uncharted was so popular that it, you know, demanded a sequel, did you start working on maybe a third one just in case?
No.
We have lots
Karen
of
squirrels.
Yeah.
Karen squirrels. She does her, I think Nalini Singh calls them squirrels. She writes these little books on the side, so she's writing her own little book. We actually write different stuff when we're working on that. But Karen in particular, she'll start coming up with it. What do you think of this idea? What do you think of this idea? And she's so we've got this whole folder of like a couple thousand pages of a couple of thousand words of these stories that she started that she likes this idea of, and it just percolates there. So they're always there in these folders. We've got about 20 of them that one day we're going to get out there and write, and it's like, ah.
You know, there's always other stories you want to write rather than the story you're just writing.
And they're not always in the same universe.
No.
Okay, so on the stuff you work on individually, where does your process differ from that for these other books?
Mostly it's the opposite way around. Like if Karen's writing the first draft of hers, I'll do the heavy editing. If I'm writing the first draft of mine, Karen will do the editing side. So the focus is different. Either I'll write the story and totally forget the editing while I'm writing it, but Karen will come along and edit all my work, and the other way around. So it's just the person who's writing the first draft is the one who – that's their main role, is to write the first draft and get it down. And then we just, the editing and the discussion and all that comes afterwards. So and the opposite way around, yeah.
And I suppose one thing is nowadays we tend to write the stories that grab us both. So if we have stories outside of that, they're sort of really just bits of writing in a way, because they're not 100% finished or not past first or second draft. If the story's good enough for both of us, then we'll work on it. Otherwise, they're just bits of writing.
Yeah. We have one story that we're actually absolutely love, but it's a long way from finished, that we actually both love the idea of. It's a fantasy, and we're both actually writing a chapter each, and then we're combining the chapter and taking the good bits from each chapter and then writing it up that way. So that's a different way of working, but this is something we both love and we both want to write, so we're both writing it. Yeah. And it's going in really weird directions. And
as
fun.
A result.
But it's fun.
Now, do you each have a preference for a genre that you enjoy writing in the most? Because you just said you're working on something that's fantasy, the Stars Uncharted and Stars Beyond, and the previous series, Linesman series, those are science fiction. Where are your other writing interests directed?
We're very speculative fiction focused, science fiction,
like,
fantasy.
We'd like to get a bit of mystery in there too, as well. So we want to put a bit more
Magical or a science fiction whodunit. That would be the perfect
story
for space opera whodunit. Would be great.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, we do tend to stick to genre. Character-based writing, mostly. So space opera is a perfect example. There's, you know, lots of good character. If it's character-based and it's fun, we like it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the mashup of the detective thriller and the space opera, or the detective thriller and the magical fantasy realm. Those seem to really, really attract my attention. And I've always enjoyed those. So have you thought about doing any like thrillers, like action thrillers or horror stories?
Not horror.
We don't actually can't take horror very well.
I mean,
thrillers.
I get nightmares with horror.
Yeah, we have a few ideas for action thrillers. We toyed around for a while with a sort of a genuine action thriller. That was a security one, Sherilyn.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But, yeah, so maybe thrillers, but definitely for us it will probably still be science fiction or fantasy mostly.
But okay. We might get some whodunit in there somewhere yeah. with it. But it'll be, yeah. It's probably going to be mostly light and frothy, though nothing big, heavy. Mm. We like our writing to be accessible to everybody, and we always think of, all right, who would read this? If like, would we read this, or would we get bogged down and get lost? So we want something that's accessible to. I want something that's escapism, really, rather than.
Yeah, I think that's what we read. Escape. Mm. Books to escape, and that's what we like to write as well.
And it's really got to be about character more than anything else. Our main focus is character, with if we can get a good plot with it, we try and get a good plot with it. But yeah.
So basically, the fast, fun story that's the light read with a little bit of adventure and peril mixed in.
That's what we like. We have a couple of books under the bed that aren't quite so light. You don't know what to do with them yet.
So, yes, something will happen eventually, maybe, or maybe they'll stay under the bed.
And then they'd be probably sort of more traditional sci-fi. I'm thinking Araxia, Sherilyn. Sorry, secret code here.
But we've already talked about rewriting that.
Yeah.
How we're going to change that one. So, yeah, that's all right. Sorry, that's getting off track here.
That's okay. Starting to brainstorm right here. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, we've got to stop that.
Well, do you guys get out to a lot of conventions, a lot of meeting the fans who have made Stars Uncharted so popular?
Unfortunately, no. We do. We go to a couple of the Australian conventions, but most of our readers actually are from the US. And being in Australia, it's a little difficult to get to the US on a frequent basis.
We're going to Worldcon this year because it's in New Zealand. We're not actually very well known in Australia at all, you know, when I say even as science fiction authors. So the books aren't in most of the bookshops even.
Oh, wow.
If you want to buy it in Australia, you have to go to a specialist bookshop, or you have to actually buy it online.
Wow. Bummer. So, yeah. Well, hopefully, when you guys travel to New Zealand for this year's Worldcon, that'll change. Where can people who are looking for you and more of your work find you?
They can find us on our website. We have a website, skdunstall.com. That's probably our most consistent site that we do use. It over Christmas, it lagged a bit, but we do try and post something once a week there. And there's a contact form there if anyone wants to contact us.
And we love hearing from everybody.
Yeah. We're also on Twitter, SK Dunstall. Not super active on Twitter. In Facebook, again, not very active in Facebook at the moment.
You have to blame me for that. It's my job, and I really still try to get my head around Facebook. I keep forgetting about it. I'm not really good on media yet.
Facebook is evil. Twitter is fun. Just remember that.
Well, Karen does the Twitter and the blog, and that's why they're the two most active ones.
But yeah, if anyone needs to talk to us, I'll go back. Facebook, SK Dunstall as well. But if anyone needs to talk to us, either through the website, through the contact form on the website, or through Twitter, we're happy, you know, we'll read the tweets.
Excellent.
Thank you.
We'll have links to the website and to the Twitter and Facebook sites, pages where people can interact with you. Well, Sherilyn and Karen, thank you for sharing your passion for space opera, because I'm a big fan of space opera today.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Much appreciated.
And we'll be back with more right after this.
A lonely alien pet bravely waits for the family that may never return. An astronaut with seconds to live discovers just how good victory can taste. A mecha pilot and an aristocrat strike up an unlikely friendship. Take a ride with Escape Pod, the Hugo-nominated weekly science fiction podcast, at escapepod.org. Every week, we'll launch you into an alternate reality. So buckle up, it's story time.
If you're interested in space opera, this week is the week when Stars Beyond is released. Go check that out at your nearest online or brick and mortar retailer, wherever you get your books, your favorite place to obtain your reading materials. I was meaning to do a full 2019 picks of books and audiobooks and graphic novels, but I ended up rolling in a lot of that into the 2019 Picks of the Year for Slice of Sci-Fi. So if you are curious what my picks were for that, you can go on over to sliceofscifi.com and check those out. Otherwise, if you have any questions or comments on space opera or anything else related to stories of a space opera flavor with other genres mixed in, feel free to call. The number is 602-635-6976, or you can send an email to summer@writersafterdark.com. You can listen to Writers After Dark through Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and Player FM. And if you could, please leave us a review. Let people know that you're enjoying the storytellers that you're listening to here, and maybe folks should check it out for themselves. You can follow us on Twitter at Write After Dark. That's WRITE After Dark. And of course, there's the website, writersafterdark.com. I'd like to thank everyone who is helping support the efforts here for this show and all of the other shows in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe, be sliceofscifi.com, babylonpodcast.com, charliejade.net, all of those fun shows, current and past, that are still online because of your efforts. Thank you so much. If you'd like to help out, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Your pledges there will help keep things online and also make you eligible for monthly perks. We have giveaways of DVDs, Blu-rays, books, advanced copies of books, all sorts of goodies, so check that out. If an occasional donation every now and then is more your style, the link to use there is paypal.me/scifisummer. And again, many thanks for your support. It is well and truly appreciated. I'd like to throw a shout out to Shay Dawn and Sybin Quest for the music here. If you'd like to check out more by them, more compositions they have done over the years, follow the links on the website. But that'll do it for this episode. See you next time. And remember, keep looking for your own stories.